In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist, of course. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." We read in our passage from John's Gospel a little about that. We read these words: "All things were made through him," the reference, of course, is to Jesus, "and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." If you know anything of the Bible, you'll know that this idea of light is quite a familiar one. It comes again and again. In fact, on the very first page of the Scriptures, almost the very first verse of our Old Testament Bible, we read these words: "And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good." Now, you say that has to do with physical light, but perhaps that's not what we're talking about in John's Gospel. So are there no other references? Well, yes, there are. And we read one of those as we started our service this morning. Here is God speaking to Isaiah and prophesying through that man, prophesying to the nation of God's people what would happen in due course. They were going through a really tough time, a time of great darkness, a great declension in their spirits. And God was assuring them that he had not forgotten them, and that in due course he would answer their prayers. In fact, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. He's looking forward as if the thing had already happened. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And we read through that passage, and you remember that that passage culminates in the understanding that for us, unto us a child is born. And we get these wonderful names of the Lord Jesus: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In John's Gospel, we read earlier that all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You may say, well, that's still a rather veiled reference, isn't it? Well, this one is certainly not. Here is Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And to say that he was the light of the world was to make an astonishing claim, because in John's first letter, he declares this message, a message that he'd heard from God and proclaimed to his readers, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so by claiming to be the light of the world, Jesus was claiming to be God himself, as truly he is. And so we're going to look at this word light this morning and ask ourselves the question, what does this convey to us, this notion that Jesus is the light of the world? What comes into your mind? Well, we had a look at this when I was with the good people at the Pilgrim Gardens, and I suggested that we might look at the five letters of the word, L-I-G-H-T. What could they possibly represent? And I got some wonderful answers, most of which I hadn't thought of. So that was great. This is a wonderful thing for you to think over. And you may not like my headings. You may like to think of your own and see how it works. And here's the first one. That light speaks to us of life. Here's a theologian writing at the end of the 19th century. Light in the natural world is the source or necessary condition of life. So God is, to us, the source of all spiritual life. We can only live, grow, and flourish in his presence and under the light of his countenance. Or if you prefer, someone writing more than 100 years later, in fact fairly recently, thinking back to creation and then thinking back to some of these New Testament scriptures, he says this, the God who creates begins with light as the primary expression of his own eternal being, and from this everything else grows. Without light there would be no plant or animal life, no growth, no activity, no beauty would be possible. All creation owes not only its existence but its sustenance to the God who is light and to the Christ who declared himself to be the light of the world. So light speaks to us of life. Remember at one stage Jesus said, after the feeding of the 5,000 and people were trying to understand what had been going on, and he said to them, I am the bread of life. John 6, verse 31 onwards. People criticized him for what he came to do. But in John chapter 10 and verse 10, he tells us he came to bring life and life abundantly. If you would want to know what true life is like, then you will find it only in Christ. In John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, one of the most famous of New Testament verses, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you would know real life, life lived to the full, abundant life, eternal life, everlasting life, then you will find it. Not in some scheme of man, not in some rite of the church, but in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. He brings life. He literally brought physical life into being, and only he can bring spiritual life into being. Now, what's I? Well, we had all sorts of ideas about that when I was with the good folk at Evington. We thought it might be initiative. God takes the initiative, the light shines. That might be right. We could say that it's invincible, that light defeats darkness, never the other way around. when we at the end of the day say that darkness has fallen, actually it's not the darkness that has fallen, it's the light that has gone. But we're going to use a different word. We're going to use the obvious word, illumination. That's what light does. That's the nature of light. God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. Light is the great medium of revelation. We talk to the children of what it's like in one of those caves in Derbyshire. Actually, the first slide was a cave in Gibraltar, and the second one in Mallorca. That we have similar ones here. And you go in them and you switch the light out and you see nothing. It's depressing. It's dangerous. It's dark. You can't actually work out where you've come from, much less how you're going to get out again. And it is quite horrid. But when the light goes on, the whole place is transformed. The beauty that is there is visible. You can see the way forward. You can see where you've come from. And you can see how to get out again. It's wonderful. Darkness hides, but light reveals. And God is that light. Jesus is that light. He brings light to our darkened minds. He shows us what God is like. Looking at him, we see God in action. Listening to him, we hear God speaking. He brings us information, illumination, that we could not get otherwise. Listen to C.S. Lewis, wonderful quote from this man who was a great apologist for the Christian faith after many years of being antagonistic towards it. He says this: I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. Isn't that wonderful? I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. So as we read the words of Jesus that astonished his hearers, he taught with such authority that they were not used to. As he spoke about the counsels of God, they were amazed at what he said because they hadn't seen it that way before. He brought light where there had been darkness. He brought knowledge where there had been vagueness. He brought clarity where there had been confusion. He did it then. He does it still. So if you would know what God is like, if you would know what God thinks, look to Jesus. Read the accounts, John's Gospel perhaps, or one of the other Gospels. Read what he said, read how he preached, read how he interacted with the people with whom he came into contact. Because there you will find light. There you will find illumination on who God is, who man is, and how we might have a right relationship with him. We've just been through a bruising election period in which parties with very different views have told us that they alone have the knowledge to lead our country, that they have the wisdom to take us forward, that they have the policies that we should espouse. But actually, we ask ourselves, whoever got into power, would it really be like that? Would they really have all the answers? Would they really even fulfill all their promises? But we have no doubt about it in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. He never said anything that will be denied in the fullness of time. He never said anything that we will say, oh no, that was mistaken or wrong. He is the light of the world. And the light shines in the darkness of our world, of our hearts, of our land. Where do we go next? Well, it just has to be guidance, does it not? We could think of many other things, but my mind was taken back, first of all, to the Old Testament. Here we are in the Old Testament days, the people of Israel had gone, just 70 of them, into the land of Egypt for safety at a time of famine. There they had been welcomed because by the providence of God, a man called Joseph had got there first and had been promoted to the point where he was the prime minister of Egypt. And so his family were welcomed in with open arms, and there they prospered, there they grew. But then a generation grew up who had forgotten all about Joseph, and the Egyptians realized that this people within their borders might pose a great threat. They were large in number, and the Egyptians were worried. And so they set to make them virtually slaves in the land that they'd gone to as welcome guests. And it was in that context that God sent Moses to lead his people out of the land. And he did so, by the grace of God, in a very remarkable way. They left the land, they crossed the Red Sea, and they found themselves on the fringe of the desert. And then for months and months, they travelled through that desert, sometimes stopping for a night or two, sometimes for a longer period of time. And God led them, not the way you might think, the direct route to the land that he had promised to give them, but down southeast through the desert regions to the mountains of Sinai. How did they know where to go? How could they possibly have imagined how to follow the rather curious routes that there might have been, known perhaps only to a few nomads? The Bible says this, Exodus chapter 13. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. And so it was that by the grace and providence of God, they were led all that way. They had many interesting experiences. God was teaching them. God was training them. God was taking them to the point where they would receive his law. And then God led them on from there towards the land that he had promised to give them. His light gave them the guidance that they needed. They were never left without his direction. They were never left without his provision. And God has continued to guide his people in ways that sometimes we find perplexing. Sometimes he points us in directions we did not expect to go. Sometimes he points us in directions we did not want to go. Sometimes he points us in directions we feel wholly unqualified to go. Livingstone tried to go to China, but God sent him to Africa instead. Carey, local boy, planned to go to Polynesia in the South Seas, but God guided him to India. Judson, great American missionary, went to India first, but then was driven on to Burma. God's guidance, and God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the one that guides us, not only into all truth, but he guides our way through life. There are many people here this morning who will say, looking back, I can trace the hand of God leading me and guiding me, and praise God for it. The writer to the Hebrews says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So God has spoken to us through his Son. If you would need guidance from God, pray for it. But look at the teaching of Christ. For so often, the living word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaks to us and guides us through the written word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Do you remember how it was when Jesus was tempted? It happened there in the desert. Satan came to him. Time and again, Jesus made the same reply. You'll find it in Matthew 4, but also in other scriptures. The devil took him to a place of temptation and made all kinds of suggestions to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, he said, command these stones to be the loaves of bread. Jesus said, it is written, and quoted to him from the Old Testament. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourselves down. And Jesus said, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So here was the living word of God, quoting the written word of God, for the guidance he needed in the affairs that he was confronting at that time, that great period of temptation. So Jesus is the light of the world. He gives us guidance, and how we praise him for it. H, well, it has to be holiness. Light is a picture, a wonderful picture of God's perfect moral righteousness, his flawless holiness. Sometimes we go into a dark room and a bright light comes and we're just dazzled by its brightness, by its purity, by that kind of thing. And that's exactly what God is like. Paul said to Timothy, God lives in unapproachable light. A foundation stone of Christian believing and thinking then is that intellectually, morally and spiritually, God is light, unsullied, undiluted. This speaks of his holiness, his purity, his integrity, his truth. The hymn writer's got it just right. My God, how wonderful thou art, thy majesty, how bright, how beautiful thy mercy seat in depths of burning light. That's exactly what it's like. Now, this attribute of God should be a great encouragement to us, a wonderful encouragement to us. Here's the writer to the Hebrews talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So there's the confidence, there's the encouragement, that because Jesus is a holy God, then we know that we can have confidence that his work on the cross was done, accomplished and finished. But we also know that as a holy God, he came as a man, and so he knows what it's like. Sometimes we say to people, it's no good saying that to me because you don't know what it's like. Well, you may be able to say that honestly to your friends, to members of your family, but you can never say it honestly to God. You don't know what it's like, and you almost hear the voice of Jesus saying, yes, I do. I was tempted just as you are, but without sin. You gave in. I withheld my agreement to giving in, as it were. It was harder for me. I know exactly what you feel like. What an encouragement to us. But also, what a terrible challenge. way back in the New Testament, sorry, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, and there are other scriptures that say the very same sort of thing. God said this to his people, "I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am holy. I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." What a challenge for us, that we are meant to be like this Lord Jesus. We are to take him as our example. We are to walk in his footsteps. We are to be holy as he was holy. This is not just the reflection of somebody writing years later, the scriptures I've just read to you. We have on the screen a picture of a little verse that was spoken at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He went into to the synagogue, and there in Capernaum there was a man with an evil spirit, and it was this evil spirit who cried out, "I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God." And do you know, he was right. That's exactly who Jesus is. Jesus of Nazareth, the one that some people thought was a carpenter's son, was actually the Holy One of God. And he is the one whose birth we celebrate this Christmas time. T is for truth. T is for truth. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." He's telling us that's the truth. That's the way to God, and there is no other. And throughout the scriptures, we realize that God tells the truth. He tells it how it is. His word is to be trusted. His written word, and no less, his living word. The psalmist says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts." That's in Psalm 119, verse 97. The psalmist here is saying, the wisdom of man may be great, but the truth, the ultimate truth, comes from God alone. Psalm 119, verse 130. "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." Back to my cave there in Derbyshire. When the lights go out, you can't see a thing. You literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. You grope around a little, but you really don't want to move very far because you don't know what there might be. Whether there might be a hole, whether there might be water, whether there might be a jagged edge. You are very scared. You can sense a few things, but you really don't know what it is that's in front of you. But when the light goes on, the unfolding of your words gives light. Suddenly, the truth is revealed. Did you note, as we in our reading from John chapter 1, "The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." We sometimes sing and enjoy singing a great hymn by Michael Saywood, "Word incarnate, truth revealing, Son of Man on earth." Jesus said to his disciples, John chapter 8, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me?" And as we've already quoted, that great verse, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Yes, Jesus tells us the truth about God, Jesus is the truth about God himself. So there we have Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus is the one who brings us life physically, but the only one who can bring us life spiritually. Jesus is the one who brings us illumination. If you're uncertain about any aspect of what God is like, what God expects of us, or how we can have a relationship with him, listen to Jesus. God guides his people, and the Lord Jesus guides his people. He is the true light who gives light to everyone. We're reminded too, of course, that he is a holy God. Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One. And we're reminded that we can put our trust in him because he is wholly trustworthy. He tells the truth. Now the Bible teaches that we who put our faith in Jesus are the children of God. And as the Apostle Peter puts it, we have been called out of darkness into his marvellous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. So if God is light, then we are children of light. And we should reflect and transmit some of that light into the darkness of the world in which we live. That is our privilege and our responsibility of Christian as Christian people. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says, writing to the church at Philippi. It says, Ephesus to start with. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So the question is, if you are a Christian believer here this morning, and you see in the Lord Jesus these wonderful attributes, the one who is the light of the world, then if you are a Christian believer, you are a child of light, and you should reflect and transmit some of these characteristics in your life. Do you? Do I? Writing to the Philippians, Paul says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life." That is our challenge as Christian believers, to reflect the light of God that he has shone in our hearts. Sometimes on a nice clear night, especially in the country where there's no light pollution, you can go out and you can look up and you can see the moon and you think, my, it's shining so brightly. But of course, it's not shining at all. All we see is reflected light. It's the sun that gives that light that we say is the light of the moon. And that's how it should be as Christian folk. People looking at us should say, my, how brightly they shine. And we should say, actually, it's not me. It's my Lord, the light of the world. What if you're not a believer this morning? Well, isn't there a challenge here for you? Do you know this one who is the light of the world? I don't mean do you know about him. You can probably tell us facts about his life and his ministry. You may know all about the Christmas story and what happened. But have you met him? Do you know him as your Lord and Saviour? Is he the light of your life? Well, this morning, he could be. And we pray in his name that he will be.